Pastor and family were experiencing this. Pastor talked to me about sharing today. And as the week went on, they thought, well, maybe we'll be there and maybe not. But here we are and here I am. Guess who's coming to town? There's going to be a celebration. There's going to be a parade. Oh, yeah, guess what I heard? It's that Jesus guy. And the Jews are saying he's going to be our king. King of the Jews. He's going to be our king. He's coming to town. Let's get out there and let's celebrate. Let's get ready. Oh, I heard he's coming down Faith Avenue. Okay, I'll meet you at the corner of Faith and Hope. And we're going to celebrate the coming into town of Jesus, this king who is supposed to bring us hope. He's supposed to bring us peace. He's supposed to be in control of all that is, and our world's going to change. Guess what? Our world's going to change. There aren't going to be any people who are suffering starvation. There aren't going to be any people who are in pain from disease because he's going to eliminate all of that. Let's go celebrate. Wow. It's a great day. The triumphal entry is what we call this day in relationship to Scripture. The beginning of Holy Week. The beginning of a week that sees a change over the last several years of Jesus' ministry with his disciples. A change that is coming. Celebration. Yo, we love to celebrate. We love to have hope. You know, as Dan shared what was going on and the fact that, you know, there's this suffering in that part of the world, we also realize what's going on in other parts of the world and the hardships and the sufferings that are there. And we want to be able to celebrate hope. We want to be able to think about hope. As I thought about this reality of the triumphal entry, and I thought about the people who were out at Faith and Hope Avenue, wanting to celebrate Jesus coming in and celebrating that. You know, I also thought about the people who probably weren't there. The people who were, you know, sticking up their noses and saying, huh. Yo, what is this? We've heard about it. That's nothing coming. It's really not anything that is being predicted that's going to come true. You know, the scoffers, those who were back in their homes, those who were back in the bars, you know, talking about all this thing that everybody else was out there celebrating. You see, there are two sides always of a celebration, aren't there? There are two sides. There's that side of people who, you know, have this idea of hope that's coming. Then there's this side of people who say, yo, you're all out there somewhere that you don't know what's going to come. You know, life is going to be different than that. The triumphal entry, though, the celebration of hope by those who are there, the songs that we sang, you know, those are one-sided songs. You do recognize that, don't you? They're one-sided. They're the side that we know as Christ followers is the reality and truth of Jesus coming. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's time to celebrate. It's time for hope. The question is, who are we celebrating? Oh, that's a good question, isn't it? Who are we celebrating? You know, we're coming into Holy Week. You know, the triumphal entry, we're looking ahead because we know the story. We're looking ahead to Easter, and we realize that this is God. This is Jesus Christ who we celebrate, and who for us this time of year is maybe the highest of all celebrations because we know that there's true hope in Jesus. I was thinking, though, about all this celebrating stuff. And that's kind of what motivated my movement in thought as I thought about what I should share today. This hype. You know, we're coming into an election year. It's hype time. Isn't it? It's hype time. And there are people who are looking to celebrate. You know, the Republicans are hoping for a celebration. The Democrats are hoping for a celebration. There's all this hype. They're telling us what they're going to do for us. There's hope. Maybe. Hopefully. Hope. There's this hype time that people come out and they gather and they celebrate and they clap. They circle around these people who they think can be leaders who will impact us in positive ways. And there was this time of triumphal entry. And then the question comes, and then what? And then what? There's this huge celebration. And then what? What comes after the celebration? Well, you know, for Jesus, this was the beginning of Holy Week. So for Jesus, he came into town. There was this huge celebration. Jesus then spent the first part of the week of Holy Week teaching. The scripture says that he was in the temple teaching. He was with his disciples. He was teaching. And he was sharing what was true in relationship to who God is and who Jesus Christ is himself as he shared himself with the people around him. He was trying to help people understand what is true and what is coming. But then there was this time when all those people who were celebrating started to crawl into their corners. They started to lose that sense of hope, lose that sense of what this King of Kings is supposed to bring, and they started to disappear into the cracks until that time of his crucifixion when who is it that was showing up along Faith Avenue? What was going on? Jesus was carrying that cross. People were spitting on him, cursing him, throwing things at him. This past week, as I was working, I guess it was last week, there was a man came in with his mom, and she had just been out of the hospital, so she rode around the store in this little scooter that we have, and I happened to go out with them, and I said, okay, I'll take the scooter back in, and the man was talking to me. He was talking about going to Mardi Gras, and he's from a Baptist church in Junction City. And he was talking about a group of them that go to Mardi Gras, and what they do at Mardi Gras is they carry a cross down the street in Mardi Gras. And he was talking about the people who curse them and throw things at them and spit at them and all of this nasty stuff. And that's what Jesus experienced. That was the next step after the triumphal entry. The cursing, the ignoring, the challenging of the possibility of hope, and basically the statement, there's no hope in this person. There's no hope in this man. What then? What happens after the celebration? Well, in a big sense, we're living in that time of what then? You and I, we're living in that time of what then? What then do we do? What then happens? What then comes? Holy Week is really a microcosm of life. Jesus' teaching, those who reject him, those who follow him that are afraid and are hiding. Have you ever found yourself as a Christian wanting to hide and not enter into the activities of some people who are around you? I've experienced that. I'm sure you have too. Jesus' coming was celebrated. So what are the messages for us today that may come out of this celebration? First of all, the dynamics of hype and hope, the dynamics of celebration. Yeah, it's this time of year that we're in, election time, and it's a time of hype and hope. Celebration. This is what's in it for you. Hope centered around, oh, who's this hope centered around? Oh, it's centered around, you know, Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden. And for some people, they think, oh, here we go. We get the right person in, and we're in good shape. Here we go. But guess what? What's their message? What's the message of both of those candidates? Their message is, I can do this for you. And you. The message is, me. Right? The message is, for me. The message is that, Dale, life's going to be better for you. Guess what? We probably don't want to admit it, but we probably all like life easy peasy. Yeah? Have you ever felt that? I'll bet you have. If you haven't, you aren't being honest, probably. There's a new commercial out in the last month as we've come into the basketball tournaments that struck me the first time I saw it, and I watched it again yesterday at one point. And the funny thing is, I don't know what they're advertising, but what I saw in it is what impacted me. There are these two big, tall basketball players, professional basketball players. I can't even tell you their names, but I know they're there. I know what they do. And what they say is this, in relationship to what they're advertising. They say this, as long as it's good for me. As long as it's good for me. You see, when we think about what's going on in the world, what do we think about? Do we think about the fact that there's no power and people are suffering? Or do we think about what's in it for me? How does that impact me? What if we can't get the products we want because of the stuff that's going on the other side of the world? See, what's in it for me? The forever problem is this. The forever problem is me. It began in the garden. I just want to taste that fruit. I know Jesus, God said no, but it looks so good. You know, someone was talking about pictures here recently, pictures of food. And I love food. I get dragged into that. So I can see how in the garden, Adam and Eve looked at that fruit and they thought, oh, wow, I just want to try it. I mean, isn't it there for me? Oh, the problem is that's it. I want it for me. The problem is me. James 3:16, it states this, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be discord in every evil practice. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be discord in every evil practice. Where does selfishness, you know, where does it come? Where is jealousy? The root of all of that is me, right? It begins with me. It doesn't begin with you, it begins with me. It begins with my jealousy of you. It begins with my selfish ambition to be better than you, to get ahead of you, or to get ahead of someone. It's all about me. The problem is me. And again, we drop back to politics. Selfish ambition and jealousy. Do we see any of that in the commercials I don't have to have you raise your hands, because all of us would. Of course, we see it all the time, don't we? How about family relationships? How about sibling relationships? How about work relationships? We see it everywhere. The problem, folks, is me. Selfish ambition, jealousy. I'm jealous that another person gets paid more than I do. I'm jealous that that person's job is easier than mine. I have this selfish ambition to get ahead. You know, I don't want to get ahead for the sake of the company. I want to get ahead for me. Or are you lying to yourself? I think we all recognize the reality of that. Jesus states in Matthew 16:24, he says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." What is Jesus saying? He's saying, you have to deny yourself. I have to deny me. The problem is me. The problem is me. I have to deal with me. Jesus said, you are going to have to deny yourself, Dale, and come and follow me. It's hard. How do we do that? Whoever we are, we're called to follow Jesus. We're called to deny ourselves. We're called to deal with me. To be able to realize what we want to realize. You know, I'm always the one who gets in the way of myself. I am the one who gets in the way of realizing the fullness of life. Because I'm looking at me. When I control and make decisions for my advantage, I'm hurting someone else, and I'm really not helping me. I am the problem. Me is the problem. Luke 22:24. The disciples are in the Last Supper with Jesus. You know, they're where Jesus was washing their feet. They're where Jesus was passing the bread and the wine around. They're where, you know, that person who is going to deny to bring Jesus to the place where he was arrested understands, and he leaves. And then it's interesting what happens. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. There it is again. It's all about me. I want it easy peasy. I want the place at your right hand and your left hand. You know, where does that let everybody else? Jealousy, selfish ambition. The disciples, those who were closest to Jesus, dealt with the reality and the truth of human nature, that dealing with themselves, that dealing with me, and realizing that it has to be something that is dealt with. So the problem is me. Next, what is important is knowing and understanding God's way. So I want to read from Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 45. And Jesus called them to him, and he said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." What is God's way? What is God's way? God's way is to be servant, to be the servant of all. You know, that basketball commercial with those guys, "I just want everything, The other, to satisfy me. God's way, that's not servanthood. They didn't want you to follow this advertisement so it'd help somebody else. They wanted it so that it'd help you. Well, of course, that's what we want, isn't it? That's our nature. We want to take care of me. Jesus says, no, first of all, you need to realize that you are not to lord it over others. It's not to be you first, but it's to be the other person first. Jesus came to be the servant. Jesus came to be the servant of all, and he calls us to do the same. So the question for us is, do we want to be servants? Well, I may want to serve Margaret sometimes because, you know, I'm in her house, and if I want to eat, I need to serve her. Do we know what God's saying here? God's saying we're to be servants of all. You know, the whole political field and the whole political realm, these two parties that are clashing now, the election that's coming. Do we see that we have leaders who want to serve everybody? You know, I don't see that. I want to serve my party. I want to serve those who think like I do. I don't care about these others. I mean, they're worthless. They're, you know, I don't care about them. You know, I just care about this group that is my group. Jesus says we're to be servants of all. We're to serve all. What does it mean, all? Well, folks, it's one thing for me to serve you here. It's one thing for me to serve those who I like, those who I live with, those who I party with. It's a whole nother thing for me to think about serving those people who aren't like me, who don't think like me, who don't do like me. God calls us to serve, to be servants. Jesus said, the truth is, we are to be servants of all. That's why I came. Knowing and understanding God's way. John 8:31-32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? The truth is that I'm the problem. The truth is that I'm a sinner. The truth is that until I take care of that sin problem in my life, I can't serve someone else, because all I'm going to want to do is serve me. Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. We talk a lot about freedom in America. Are we free? Well, sometimes some of us are free and some of us aren't free. The truth is, the only way to realize freedom is to come to Jesus Christ. The truth is, freedom only comes when we're willing to serve everyone, when we're willing to give our lives for others, and not just some others, but all others. That's God's truth. The scripture says, if we abide in God's word, folks, I appreciate so much Pastor Matt as he is taking the scripture and he's not ignoring the pieces that are hard. He's sharing it all with us. And that's what we must do. We must take all of scripture, not just the portions that satisfy that easy peasy. God loves me. Wonderful. It's great. Life's good. But all of scripture that says, you know, we need to obey. We need to walk in God's truth. We need to live the way God calls us to live. And it's then that we'll realize hope. It's then that we will realize that success in life and that freedom. God's way is the only way to freedom and peace and hope. Christians, what can we do in our world to help convey that truth, that message? What can we do this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, every day this week, to walk in our world and help our world see that peace, freedom, hope only comes in Jesus Christ, and only comes when we understand His Word, we know His Word, and we live it. Knowing it's one thing. If we know it and don't live it, it's worth nothing. It's no good to us. It's no good to our world. It's no good to those around us. We must know it and live it. We must know it and allow it to produce fruit, the fruit of goodness, the fruit of hope, the fruit of peace. We cannot disappear into the cracks and hide when something difficult comes in our lives or our communities. Yes, we celebrate the triumphal entry. Yes, Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And the truth is, that is who He is. He's not one, though, that lords it over. He doesn't come as a king and as a leader who lords it over. He doesn't come to control. He comes to serve. He comes to serve the least of these. And that's what He calls us to do as well. So, folks, let's don't go and hide and whimper and cry about how hard it is. But let's stand up and walk and talk and share the truth of the gospel, which brings freedom, which brings hope, which brings life, which will allow us to celebrate every day of our lives into every day of eternity with Jesus Christ our Lord. So let this triumphal entry, let this Holy Week be a time when we walk in the knowledge and understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what He teaches and the reality of the hope that that brings to us in our world, if we will but live it. We're going to close today with a hymn, and I'm going to try to get down off this platform without falling. After standing like this, my joints are slower to respond and respond with pain. So you see it in your bulletin if you want to stand with me. Okay, yes, I'm getting old, but I'm still moving. I'm not dead yet. You know the commercial with the ladies? That commercial that, that's okay. We don't need to talk about that. Stand with me as we sing, and it is... It is 168, Redeeming Love. It's kind of a short little piece, but it's a wonderful blessing.
Thank you.
redeeming love, a love that knows no limits.